Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, fellow alcoholics. I'm Sarah, and I am an alcoholic. I know that now. I knew it this morning when I woke up and got down on my knees and said the third step prayer. And when I go to bed tonight, I will again get down on my knees and say thank you. This is an easy program. I came around 35 years ago, and I was driving home from work, headed to either the good vodka on the top shelf or the cheap vodka underneath the sink. And as I'm driving home, I heard someone say, "You are not alone." And I get chills when I say it, when I still say it now, because I'm convinced it was my higher power telling me that I didn't have to spend the day alone, spend the evening alone, as I had done for probably 25 years. My drinking career was nothing extraordinary. I would have preferred to have been a biker chick. Doing all kinds of crazy things across the United States, but the reality is that I was a 40-year-old typical female alcoholic, and I didn't want to be typical anything. Female, yeah, that's fine, but typical, I wanted to be great. I wanted to be someone that you'd look up to and say, "Oh my gosh, I want to be just like her." I caution you to think like that because you're only seeing the outside. You know, the inside of me is what counts. I was fortunate that I called my physician and for the first time, said out loud, "Doctor, I am an alcoholic and I need to go into treatment today." And this was, you know, it was about 5:30 or 6 p.m. And she didn't hesitate. She said, "Let me call you back." I got a call back that I would be accepted at DePaul Hospital in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And my husband finally, you know, got home from work and I said, "Honey, you have to take me to DePaul because I'm going into treatment." And he said, "Well, are you sure you're an alcoholic?" Which is pretty funny because we had many, many fights about my drinking. I never wanted to leave a party if there was still alcohol. And typical of many of you, when I got home after the party, I continued to drink until I passed out. I was fortunate to be in treatment for 20 days, and I had a counselor. She wouldn't mind my telling you, her name was Clara Gagne. And she really pushed AA. Thank you, God, for that. Because from day one, I shared a hospital room with another gal. We went to a meeting, and I remember standing in the door looking at, wondering, what am I going to do here? And there was a long timer, we call them instead of old timers. A long timer who said, "Come on in, you belong here." And honestly, to the best of my ability, that's the first time anybody ever said, "You belong here." I walked in, sat my butt down, and either cried or laughed through the entire meeting. sharing my experience with drinking, you know what that's like. What happened, I just told you. Because she had pushed AA, I decided I would start going to AA meetings. And excuse me. I went to, one particular meeting where I knew the person who would be there. And from then on, I looked, is there anybody in the meeting that's speaking, telling my story? Find out where they went or where they were going for a meeting. And for the first 2 years, I went to six meetings a week in church on Sunday. I was employed full time, which is a miracle that I was still employed. But somehow I managed not to drink at work. I drank the rest of the time, like a crazy woman. And 2 years, and I was still restless, irritable, and discontent because I wanted the world to be an AA meeting because you AA people made sense to me. Unfortunately, our world isn't like that. I needed to learn how to live in this meeting or in this world of ours. There were so many things about my world that I felt were either unfair, and that I deserved better. And the I used to, play this mind game, like if I had married so and so, what would my life be like? If I had married that person, what would my life be like? And the answer that I got from God, my higher power, was it'd be the same as it is now because you would be part of the equation. And I believe that. At about 2.5 years, I saw a person that had what I wanted. And I asked her, would you sponsor me? And she said, well, you have to be willing to do some things. Oh, like what? I'll go to meetings. She said, no, you need to read the big book. We'll read it together. And she said, make notes in your big book because, it's, your book for life. So that's what we did. She taught me the steps and, one, two, and three, first step. I had been practicing for a year before I actually went into treatment, saying to myself, I am an alcoholic. And when people heard that I had gone into treatment, it was no surprise to anyone. I hear people say, well, no one really knew that I drank much. Everyone I knew that I drank too much. And yeah, it was no surprise to anybody. Step two, I kind of jumped over because I did have a belief in a higher power, God, being raised in the Roman Catholic tradition. Step three, my sponsor said, you have to be willing to do step three because it's one of the very most important steps. Made a decision to turn my will and my life over the care of God as I understood him. And I said, well, how will I know when I'm ready to do that? She said, you will know. And, she again, as she was many times before, correct. It was on a Mother's Day, a beautiful day in May, that I called her and said I'd like to do step three. Met her in a local park, and She said, "Get down on your knees." She stood, and I thought, "Get down on my knees? I'm not praying to you." However, she said, "Say the third step prayer." And I was willing to do that. And when I finished saying the prayer, the church bells, it was a Sunday, the church bells rang. And it was the mother's day. I'd gotten a gift for my husband and daughter, this cross. I call it my third step cross. And for many, many years in treatment or in recovery, I would wear it every day. And I've taken to wearing it again because I'm finding the world difficult to live in as it exists today. And she and I went to, some meetings, and it was very good. She said, "Now step four. You got to do step four, searching your fearless moral inventory." "Oh, what does that entail?" And she said, "We're not going to do it the big book way, but I'll give you 17 positive words and 17 negative words. I want you to write something on each word, and do it. Don't do it in pencil because you can't erase it. Don't do it on the computer because you'll change it. Do it in pen." And I found it much easier to write about the negative words because that's how I thought about myself. When I completed it, and went to do step five, she said, "Well, pick where you want to do step five." I said, "I would like to do it on the grounds of the hospital that I had gotten treatment in." And I had my four-step stuff with me, and we get there, and she said, "Okay, what did you leave out?" And I hadn't thought of, I thought I had put everything down. What came to my mind was how I treated my mother-in-law. We own a duplex here in Wisconsin. And she lived upstairs from us. We lived downstairs. And she became very disabled. And whatever I did for her, I made her feel, "You are so lucky to have me take care of you." One of my regrets as a sober woman is that she never saw me sober. I'm very grateful both my parents saw me sober, as did my brothers. And that's only because of the grace of God. Step six and seven were easy for me. You just, now these are one of the hardest steps that I have to do. My co recovery went, pretty normal, with the exception of I had a brother who took his life on Memorial Day. I didn't drink then. I did start smoking again to my husband's dismay, but I didn't drink when my mother tried to kill herself. I didn't drink when my daughter was, it was apparent she was anorexic. And slowly but surely, because I continued to go to meetings like I do today, I go to meetings, I would say 6 days out of the week, because I am a stubborn gal And
5 minutes,
speed,
Sarah. 5 minutes.
five.
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm stubborn. Stubborn is ego. It's me saying, God, I know a better way to do this. If you just kind of fix a few things around my house, I need a car. I don't need a new car, but I need a car that has hopefully less than 100,000 miles. I don't have a car like that. We're operating on one car for my husband and I these days. I was very, very fortunate that my husband stopped drinking 2 weeks after I got home from treatment, and he remains sober today, as I do. I'm fortunate that our daughter, who started in a different 12-step program, joined AA 11 or 12 years ago. I have nieces. I have only one nephew. Probably 50% of them drink too much. And it's in our blood. Let me just put it that way. I'm sure my mother was more a food addict than a alcoholic. My dad, gosh, I don't know. I'm in the midst of doing, hopefully, no, doing my final amend to him. I don't remember how long I was sober, but I was with my father, and he said, I have to confess something. I went to the priest and I said, confession. And he said, I used to stalk you. What do you mean, stalk me? Well, I'd come into your bedroom at night and I stalked you. He and I, probably 8 years before he died, I had made the decision to have nothing to do with him anymore, because throughout my adult years, he would say, remind me, oh, you were really something back then. And he's a sick man. When I say I'm about ready to do my final amend, I don't know if I said it, but my final amend is, I've forgiven him many, many times. But in order for me not to be a victim of his abuse any longer, I need to forgive him and let it go. So I have talked to my sponsor. We will be doing it. I 5 years ago in recovery, I was restless, irritable, and discontent, and I realized I am a compulsive overeater. Hello. And I thought, okay, well, I've done AA. This will be easy. Well, no, it's different. It's just different. So I continue today to go to AA meetings, and I continue today to go to OA meetings, where I talk about the difficulties I have with food. Underlying all of this is my difficulty with living in this world. I no longer watch the news. I did it, watch the news about 2 weeks ago, and heard that our White House was being changed. And, we have a war going on. I don't want to see places being bombed or anything like that. But I need to be okay in my world. Was that a timer going off? Maybe.
Yeah, yes, that was your time.
Okay,
Go
let me
ahead and
just
finish
finish it
up.
up. Yes. I have a sponsor. I have a sponsor in AA. She has a sponsor. And I have two sponsors in Overeaters Anonymous. I have a food sponsor where I send her, let her know what I ate every day, and then a step sponsor. And I'm currently on step eight in that. I do the steps with those that I sponsor. And for me, I'm sober today by God's grace, plain and simple. And the fact that I'm willing to still do a few simple things. And I'm so grateful for all of you. You know, don't give up. And I'll pass with that. Thank you so much.